Who's busy this time of year? Bit crazy, right? We might get one of the air cons off because even I'm cold. I know. Who else is cold? Because it's actually quite windy up here. But we just get beautiful. I like the sparkle effect. It's beautiful. Busy time of year. There's a lot of good praise reports. We just got another great. I got a good message this morning. Bruce and Kim Williams, climbing the Ogles, is that what it's called? It's a mountain, something a hill. Anyway, he texts me this morning to tell us that as of this week, 100% all our approvals for Cambodia and our building have come through with no changes. Isn't that amazing? So at the end, we were fighting with them because they wanted all these temple things on our building and everything to make it connect up with Angkor Wat and everything that's going over there. But they actually came through and said, it's 100% approved. And that was our prayer this year. So that we would, it's taken us a year to get approval. I think I've mentioned before, you have to go through a village, you have to hand over sheep and goats. You have to do all sorts of things. And we've got it approved. So next year we start building. Exciting? And so our little shoeboxes are on the way. Apparently they've arrived there, I think. And we've got to pay now. We've just paid some money for it to be shipped across from Vietnam into Cambodia. So isn't that exciting? You are doing great things. This is our hamper Sunday. So afterwards, we're going to start packing hampers. Is that all right? We've got 120, so it normally doesn't take that long. But please hang around and be a part of it. It's going to be amazing. Well, today is my last message on Ephesians. Oh, I thought I took a while, and then I found out someone else. I was looking up someone called Driscoll, who took 2 years to preach Ephesians. So I've done it pretty well. I've done it pretty quickly. I've done it in half. You've got it in half the speed. And today's topic, because obviously every week has been a topic, and today's topic I think is quite important. Does anyone think that the topic of prayer is important? Anyone in this room? Raise your hand if you think prayer is important. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. So I'm going to start and just read out this last passage that we've been going through. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, everyone say, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girt up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, the Spirit being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, I'm going to talk about prayer. And this one verse is quite powerful. Because it actually, if you look at it, it actually gives us some real keys to prayer. Because prayer is such a massive part of our lives. I loved hearing this morning the answered prayers. And to be honest, you know, some of those prayers have been going on for years. True? Consistently praying and believing for things to change and for God to step in and for God to do miracles. And some of these prayers have been literally out there for at least 2 years that people have been holding on, persisting and praying and getting a hold of God to see God do something. Don't ever give up. Thank you, Ann Rader. Don't ever give up. And prayer is our way of coming before God and constantly bringing up the things that we know we need to see a change in. Amen? We have a good, good Father. And I love that my prayers reach a good, good Father. Not some judgmental, I don't know, tyrant. But there is a beautiful God in my life. who hears every one of my requests and every one of my prayers. And for whatever reason, it doesn't always happen the way I think it's going to happen. True? Who's had a prayer answered exactly the way you thought? I have. Hold your hand up. But who's prayed a whole bunch of prayers where it hasn't happened exactly the way you thought? True? We have a great Father. We need to realize and recognize that He is always a part of that. Prayer is something I think that most people accept. Do you know, in my time of connecting with people that aren't of faith, people that aren't Christians, I've very rarely, maybe I can think about, maybe once or twice in my life had someone say to me, when I've said to them, and they're not a Christian or they're not of faith, and I've said, you know, can I just pray for you? Very rarely have I had someone say to me, no, I have actually had that. But that wasn't a mind, body, and spirit festival. And I was at the Christ Consciousness booth with a whole bunch of students. And this person was from a completely other. And I said, can I pray for you? And they said, no. And I said, okay, I won't. I'll pray for you when you walk away. I think I said something like that as a smart aleck. But most of the time, I think people actually genuinely, their hearts soften when you say, I would like to pray for you. I know out there with our community families, we've got some great people that are involved in there. And I know Joe Garcia does all our intakes. And she constantly asks all those that come and get help, can our church pray for you? Can we pray for you? And very, very, very rarely do they ever say no. I haven't even heard her saying that they do. She actually puts a little prayer request box right in front there as an advertisement. People do accept prayer. I talk to people at our council, I talk to people, mayors and people like that, and I say, our church is going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We gather on a Monday night because we know that prayer works. Amen? Prayer is powerful. It's something that I think for all of us, we need to have an understanding of how much power it is in our lives. You know, years ago, another experiment I did when I was with some college students is we fashioned these flyers in the shape of a door knocker. This is back when I was at Hillsong, and these flyers were just a bit of an idea of what the church was, a couple of statements about the church, and we sort of printed them so we could go, and if people weren't at home, we could just leave them on the door handle. And what it said on it, we as a church love you, this is who we are, we're in your area, and you're in our area, we consider you to be family. And I wrote on the bottom of this with all that we handed out with the students, and it said, is there anything that we can pray for in your family, in your extended family, in your life? And we would hand it to people that were home, and almost everyone took it. And then the people that weren't home was, believe it or not, well, this is during the day we did this, it was the majority. And we just hung this little flyer on their door handle and we walked off. And we waited 2 weeks and then me and all the students went out again to collect them. I couldn't believe the collection that we got. We just basically said, if you want us to pray for you, we'll come back in 2 weeks. If you're not home, just write your prayer request and leave it back on there. We were shocked. We came back and the students were so excited because I would say that quite a large percentage, we would go up there, there's no one home, but on the door was hanging this little flyer with their filled in prayer request. My father, my mother, my brother, you know, my son, you know, my pet, you name it. We had all these. And we took them back to the church and prayed for them. Who knows what, where and how happened out of that? But people are open to prayer. You'd be surprised how many people around you, when you say that you are going to pray to God for them, who soften their hearts. Amen? So here's some keys to prayer, because there's 5 things that we can learn from this one verse. And this is related to the armor of God, of course. And it's related to protection over your life. How many people in this place need protection? Amen? We have an enemy out there that is always seeking to devour. He's trying to find ways to complicate, divide our lives, to do his worst in your world. And this one verse, Ephesians 6:18, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful, to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let me quickly go through this. The first thing I want to talk about in this, the first key to it is praying always. We're commanded to pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Without ceasing. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of feels a little bit kind of over the top, don't you think? Pray always. What does that mean, that you just take turns and you have a prayer closet at home and you just live in it? How does that work? But the Word of God actually says pray always, without ceasing, pray always. Be in this place of prayer. And how do we do that? How do we, if that is what the Bible says prayer is, and we should be doing it that way, then what is prayer? Is it what we think it is? Does that mean all day you walk around, "God, I just pray for my workplace. God, I pray for my office. God, I pray as I pick up this piece of paper and take it to my boss. God, I just pray for my boss. Thank you, Gareth. Thank you, Gareth, for a good day. God, I just thank you for Gareth. God, I pray for Gareth. I pray for Gareth's glasses. I pray for his shirt. I pray for his children, his family. I pray for my wife. I pray for this person over here attached. I pray for..." Is that how we do it? Well, it says without ceasing. And the Word of God is the Word of God. True? It says, pray always. You know, sometimes I've had people say to me, you know, "Oh, Pastor Andrew, do you pray?" I'm quite a routine person. I have set prayer times. My wife isn't as much, but she's always prayerful. Do you know what I mean? How do you pray always? I'll tell you how you pray always. You actually are someone that actually is constantly in a state of realizing your dependence and that God is involved in what you're doing. Amen? How else can you do it? You can't blab out and pray and wander up all day in every meeting. Sure, you pray before a meeting. Sure, before you go into a situation. Sure, before you go into a circumstance. Sure, before you meet someone. But it talks here about a faithful understanding that you are always mindful that you are dependent on God. Are you with me? And if you lose that, then I guess you're stepping outside of that prayer. It's not a matter of, sometimes it's just being aware of God in every situation. It's being aware of who He is and what He's done in your life and what He's about to do in this circumstance. It's not locking yourself in a closet. I do think that there are special types of prayer. We'll talk about that, where you come together as a congregation, you put yourself aside for prayer. I do that. I go for a walk with my dog. It's very distracting because he just wants to sniff everything. And I'm trying to pray and I put worship in my ears, and sometimes it's better to not take the dog. But we do it together. So when you pray, when you have prayer, I pray and I go for walks and I talk, but I think there's a consciousness, our dependence on God that we need to have all the time. That's how we pray always. Just consciously aware. Consciously aware every day and every moment that God is a part of what you're doing. And can I just jump in here and tell you how this gets cut off? Sin is one of the ways to cut you off from being prayerful. Because if your mind is taken with sin, I can tell you it's not going to be taken with prayer. True? It's very hard to be involved in some form of sin and still be praying. I'm not saying that to condemn you. I'm just saying that that's what sin does. That's why God hates it so much. Because it brings a separation between you and Him. Are you with me? We have this thought of sin and just being just this bunch of things you just can't do that God's ripping you off of. But no, God's going, when you are in sin, you're gonna, for that moment, you're separating yourself, your mind from me. Not spiritually, but your mind has been separated from me. You're disconnecting from me. True? And so if you're wandering around, let's say you're a young guy and you're wandering around and you're, I don't know, maybe you're overcome with lust and you're just looking at things all around you, I can tell you you're not praying at that moment. Amen? when you meet people, prayer is not the first thing on your mind. You're not thinking, what God, what can you do? How can you use me in this moment? You're not consciously thinking, God, how am I going to be blessed in this business deal or this thing I'm doing right now and this person I'm talking to? It gets you disconnected from what God wants to do. Amen? God wants us to be consciously in faith, in connection with Him. Number two, everyone say number two. The second thing out of this verse, it says, with all prayer and supplication, all prayer is comprehensive. It's all types of prayer. So to protect ourselves in prayer, all prayer, you've got corporate prayer, you've got Monday night prayer, you've got home prayer, you've got you as a wife and a husband prayer, you've got a family prayer, you've got everyone gathering and connecting together for prayer. There's intercessory prayer. There's all types of ways of praying. So the Word of God says, with all prayer and supplication. What does that mean? Supplication means requestive. How many people know that there's no issue or problem with making requests in your prayer? True? You should be requesting. Why not? God actually asks us. It's making our needs known to God. Sure, God knows our needs, but He likes to hear us repeat them. True? It's communication. It's listing what we need. It also means seeking, asking, entreating God. It talks about Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to them and also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We have a good Father. Amen? We don't have a dad. We don't have a heavenly Father. That we've got earnest requests. We're praying and believing, and He's going to give us. We're asking for a fish, and He's going to give us a serpent. I love that. That's why I love that song. Good Father, because that's who I'm praying to. Okay, the third key is to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That the prayer is to be, our prayers need to have a divine inspiration. True? I mean, I've been to some fantastic prayer meetings where you just feel the inspiration of the Spirit of God. You feel that God's leading. You feel that God's influencing and bringing in His divine Spirit. Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen? And I said, sometimes we got to wait on God before we pray and say, God, wait on the Spirit of God to get an understanding of what we're praying for. You know, what you actually need isn't necessarily what you want isn't necessarily what God needs to give you for the right now. Are you with me? Quite often, you know, we're praying prayers to change God's hand. But all the while, God's trying to change us. Are you with me? Sometimes it's the opposite way around. God wants to do great things in your life. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corners or on the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen? Sometimes our prayers are just got to be earnest, heartfelt. And I love as it goes on through that, it goes to verse 8, Jesus gave us a pattern for prayer, and we all know this. This is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a whole sermon in that. I'm not going to go through that. But Jesus gave us a pattern on how to pray. You know, can I just say something? Supplication is where we pray for the needs in our life. I find sometimes the best way for me to get into a good place with prayer is just to start by thanking God. Like Jesus said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Do you know what? Sometimes the best way you can pray is just to simply pause and say, "God, you're good. I thank you for all that you're doing in my life. I thank you for your answered prayer. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for where you've brought me right now. I thank you for your salvation over my life. I thank you for my family and for what you're doing in them." Just grab a hold of what God's doing in your life and thank him. Amen? And I think that's a good way to start to bring a freshness into your prayer by thanking God. Number four, everyone say number four. Fourth key is to be watchful and persevering. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Our prayers should be watchful and persevering. Watchful is alert, ready to pray. Realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Amen? And you know, I think sometimes in our world we just forget that. We forget that a lot of the time the first answer to a situation that you're coming up against is to start to pray. Amen? If you're coming up against something, then you should just grab, you know, if you've got your wife there, you're by yourself or whatever, just say, "God," just commit it in prayer. "God, right now, I'm not quite sure what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening right now. I don't know what's going on in my life. I can't see through this situation. But God, I just give it to you right now. God, I just pray for your presence right now. I just give you, I lay this situation down at your feet. And God, I just pray, Father God, whatever the enemy is meant for evil, that you, God, will turn around and use for good." Amen? That should be a straight-out response that we need to have as believers, is to bring this in prayer. And God wants us to have that faith, to have that watchful prayer attitude. And perseverance, well, it's a prayer with hope. And I really do. I commend you guys for your perseverance in prayer, for Anne and Jerry. Because prayer is about keeping your spirit and your heart in hope and keep praying and praying. It's not just about giving up. It's not about stopping when you just don't see it happen the way that you think it's going to happen. True? I've had so many circumstances in my life where it's just the amount of answered prayer I've had in my life that's happened the way I thought it was going to happen is minimal. The amount of answered prayer that's happened in my life that was completely surprised me is massive. And I'm talking financial, I'm talking health, I'm talking in so many areas that I just thought, you know, God, definitely, this is the vehicle you're going to use. And I'm even praying that way and saying, "God, you know, you're going to use this, God. This is going to bring some finance or something into a situation." And I've given this analogy before, but you're just praying, you're looking, and you're just, "God, I'm just praying that you need to meet this need, God." And it's like God's going, "Andrew." And I'm just, "Oh, yeah, God, this is the vehicle. God, you know, it's going to be my tax return. It's going to just bring about this blessing that I need right now. Andrew." And I was like, "I'm just praying, God, I know you're faithful. I know you're going to provide. Andrew." And I look over there. "Oh, what's this?" Something completely off the chart, but it's an answer to the prayer. Are you with me? So many times we've just got to persevere, keep moving. "God, God, I don't know." And I've heard people say, "Oh, God's going to heal me and I'm believing for it." And they have their expectation on being some divine healing that happens right at an altar call. But then their healing happens miraculously by some other cause. Are you with me? God can work it out. He's got all authority. Amen. Keep persevering. Keep praying. How God wants to answer your prayer, well, sometimes that's up to Him. Amen. How and when? But you keep going. You keep bringing your requests. You keep asking God, persevering in prayer. Romans 8, verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Everyone said, amen. Perseverance in prayer is not just about believing for God's heart to change, but it's about changing us. Honestly, I've seen some prayers over my life. And I look back on them and I think, I'm so glad you didn't give me what I prayed for, God. True? That would have been, you look back at it in wisdom and you just think, that would have been ridiculous. Wow, I was not ready for that. That would have just blown my life apart. And you thank God that He's in control. The last key, number five. The last key is, it says in this verse, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Everyone say, all the saints. The Apostle Paul was saying, don't just pray for yourself. Come on. Don't limit your prayers to just about you. You know, even though you're praying to God, that can still breed selfishness. Funny enough. True? You know, someone once told me, you become close to whom you pray, God, with whom you pray, and for whom you pray. Are you with me? If your prayer life is just about God and you and your needs, that's why sometimes we come together on a, you know, we come together. It's good for you to come together on a Monday night to pray for others, pray for the church, pray for the healing requests that we have constantly that we see prayers for, because it does something in you. Amen? It's what the body and the church is called to do. And when we hear prayer's been answered, there's nothing more exciting than knowing you've been a part of that prayer answer. Amen? Paul required us to pray for all the saints. And that's bigger than Bay City. It's bigger than just our churches, other denominations, other churches in this area. It's other people out there. Because it's all saints. We're called, there's a saint is someone that is a believer and knows God and loves God and has got God on their lives. And we're all in a battle. Amen? We're all trying to build God's kingdom and to get His message out there and see the love of His kingdom expand and see what God wants us to do. And we're all in this together. It's powerful. So I'm going to finish the book of Ephesians with this last part. And the Apostle Paul just says in verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And he goes on verse 19, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what Paul said at the very end? He said, pray for the ministry. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the ministry of the church. True? Pray for life group leaders. Pray for those that are going to boldly speak out, that are go out there. He says to them, pray for me. Pray that the anointing on God for my life is fulfilled, knowing that there is a spiritual battle that we're up against, that there is things that we've got to overcome. Amen? This church has things to overcome. There are things that will come against this church to do everything it can to stop what it's doing. And we need to pray. Amen? We don't fight in the physical, we fight in the spiritual. The enemy doesn't like the fact that we've got boxes stacked up here and We're going to give out to people and we're going to bless them and give them a gift next Sunday and put on a meal. The enemy doesn't like that. I was out there on Thursday and one of our beautiful community food care family, and that's what we call them. And I said, are you coming to our lunch? And he just grabbed me and he said, I would never not come to that lunch. He said, I'm so looking forward to it. I can't wait to this gift. He said, our family's tough time. And he had a big smile on his face. He goes, we've been coming for years now. Now, I don't expect him just to be in our church. I pray for him that one day he will find God, but he hasn't right now. But I thank God for what the church is called to do. Amen? Pray for this ministry. And the final greeting to rattle off and round off the book of Ephesians, verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Titus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Everyone said, oh, that was hopeless. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? Just for a moment. One of the things I want to do at the end of this is, and if you feel comfortable, I just want you to pray for the person next to you. Come on. Prayer is a good thing. You don't have to pray some huge, big spiritual prayer. But just pray. Just for a moment. Come on, right across this place. When we pray, we're talking to God. Right across this place. Jesus. Jesus. When you've had that moment of just prayer, just the last thing I want to do, a couple of last things. I want us just for a moment, just sing that song, Good, Good Father. Come on.